Okay, pay base. Pay base Amar Aleph. It's almost halfway down, beginning of the line. Omar Shmuel. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Omar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Mishmei de Levi. Kol nedorim baal mefal ishtoi. All vows a husband can nullify when his wife makes them. Chutz min hana osi al ploini. Except if she says the vow is that someone else will not benefit from her, so that's not in a nefesh, because that's the other guy's suffering by not getting benefit from her. So that is not in a nefesh, and therefore he cannot nullify. It has to be something which prohibits her from doing something, not something that prohibits someone else from benefiting from her. But she'ene mefri can't nullify that. Aval hanos pleni olai. But whenever she says that she makes a vow that she's not going to get benefit from someone else, mefer, he can nullify that, because that is a suffering, that's an inner nefesh, because she is restricting herself from having any, from having benefit from that guy. So this is what Shmuel says. So just to repeat, Daf Pei Beis. So we just started. Shmuel said, in the name of Levi, any if a wife makes a vow that someone else is not allowed to benefit from her, that is not nullifiable, because it's not restricting her from anything. It's only restricting the other guy. If she says that she will not benefit from a certain other person, then it is nullifiable, because she's restricting herself. So that's called a inui, that's a suffering. Okay. Sounds straightforward so far. So now the Gemara looks back at our Mishnah Tznan. We're about just below halfway down into the line. Tznan, the last word of the line. Peiris Medina Zualai. We said in the Mishnah that if she makes a vow that she won't have benefit from the fruit of this particular country. So what did the Mishnah say? What's the takan? He's not allowed to nullify that vow, because Yavilam Dina Kharaj is not going to have bananas from Queensland. That was a mushla thing. You can't have bananas from Queensland. You can get bananas from Mildura. So therefore, he cannot nullify that vow. It's not a suffering for her, because she'll get them somewhere else. Yeah.
So for the same thing, if he says not for this, I'm
exactly. So if I say, if she says she's not going to have benefit from Moshe, so why do I have to nullify? Why can he nullify that? So she won't benefit from Moshe. She'll benefit from Yehuda. What's the difference? Yeah.
If
whatever.
She says, I don't want any fruit at all. What suffering is that?
So not having fruit.
She can have bread, peanuts.
Okay, but that's called a restriction. A restriction that denies her the right to eat something is an affliction. But if she's able to get it, but why did we say that he can't nullify it? Because she can get it from somewhere else. In other words, he hasn't totally cut off bananas, only from a particular place. So the same thing should be when she says, from Ish Ploini, I'm not going to have benefit from Moshe, so I'll have benefit from Yehuda. So therefore, she shouldn't be allowed to nullify that one either. So how come Shmuel said that she could in the name of Levi? It's Amar Rabbi Yosef, Deka Amra, Shatavi, and they put the word in here, Ato. When she said, I'm not allowed to benefit if you bring it, Mimedina Zu. Now, what does it mean when you bring it from Medina Zu? So the Ran has a whole arichas over here. So what? So when she said, I'm not going to benefit from Queensland bananas if you go to Queensland and get them. So it's a double barrel thing. She is able to, A, get him to bring her Mildura bananas, but also she can get Moshe to bring it from Queensland. So she has, so it's not in a nefesh, because she has a takana of how to get stuff from her husband, because he can get it from somewhere else. She has takana how to get it from the place that she was talking about by a different person bringing it. So therefore, there's nothing that is blanket denied to her, and therefore he cannot nullify it, because it's not an in a nefesh. Masha'en came over here, even though there's a takana that if she says, I'm not having benefit from Moshe, I am benefiting from Yehuda. But from Moshe, she can't have any benefit. There's no takana. In the case of the fruit in the Mishnah, there's no complete restriction on either the person or on the thing. Yeah. So therefore, it's not in a nefesh. But over here, even though she can get the thing from somebody else, but she can't get the thing from that person. So there's a blanket ban on having anything from that person. Therefore, he's able to nullify it. So that is the difference between the case in the Mishnah and the case of Shmuel. So the Gemara tries further. Tashrama, we had it further in the Mishnah. We said, Peres Chenveni is there a lie. She says, I'm not going to get fruit from coals. Yeah, I'm having a vow not to get fruit from coals. Is again, Ein Yachal Lahafer. Yeah, because she can get what? From Woolworths. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Ein, same thing again. Hachanami here also, the Kamartish Tavi Ato. She says, if you bring it from coals, I'm not allowed to get it. So again, she has a takana either way. She can get her husband to bring it to her from Woolworths. And if she wants to get from coals, she can get someone else to bring it. So she's not restricting herself either from her husband or from coals. Therefore, it's not called Dinu Nefesh, and therefore he cannot nullify it. Okay, so let's try the third case of the Mishnah. The third case in the Mishnah was, he only has a credit card. The only store that she can get it from is that Chenveni. Yeah, is that she has a Coles card but not a Woolworths card or whatever. Yeah, so she can only get from Coles. So then Hareze Yofer. Then he can nullify it. That's why. If it's only you, is Ama Yofer. Yeah, he can get. So what's the problem from that chenveni? So the chenveni. So where is she restricting herself from coals? So again, if you bring it from coals, I won't benefit. Because why do we say that that's the pshat? Because if the whole mishnah is talking about where she's only restricting herself when the husband brings it, then to be consistent, this case must be also talking about that. So she's not just saying that I'm not having benefit from coals. And if coals is the only place where she could get it, therefore he can nullify it. But even so, she's saying, if you bring it from coals, I won't benefit from it. So she can still get someone else to go to coals, even if her parnassah is only from coals. She can get somebody else to bring it from coals. Because she's only stopping the husband from bringing it.
But from the way they learned the parnassah there, was he's the one who's got the credit line from the storekeeper. The husband.
He only has it from coals, but I'll get someone else to go to coals.
So, in other words, I'll be able to have, I know, not rely on your credit that you were able to arrange.
Yeah, if the only netter that she made is that her husband's not good on credit from Coles, so she'll go to someone else to bring from Coles. Her brother, her uncle, her friend, whatever. If the only restriction she's making is when she says to the husband, whatever you bring is no good to me, is a my offer, why should he be allowed to nullify it? She's not restricted. Ella, but we must say that that's not the pshat then. So the Gemara is backtracking now. The Gemara says it must be that it's not the pshat, she's only restricting herself when the husband brings it. Because in the last part, it doesn't make sense. It must be that the seifa, when she says when the only store she can go to, yeah, that means there wasn't any restriction mitzad the husband, she must be talking about in general, that she's never allowed to get from Coles, no matter who brings it. And it's not just restricted to whether the husband brings it. So going back to the ratio, so those first two cases that we answered, why can't he nullify it? Because she's only restricted from him bringing it, someone else could, but that's incorrect, says the Gemara, because ratio must also be the kamaisihi. It must be also talking about, not when she says, whatever you bring is no good, but whatever I get it is no good. Yeah? Ella, so it must be the other way around. So therefore, how come? Ratio, so it must be the ratio taka ein yachal lahofer. The ratio, what it said, if she says, I'm not going to have the fruit from Queensland, yeah, he's not able to nullify it because she can get from other places or someone else can go to Queensland and get it. Why can he not nullify it? Even in the Kamaisahi, even if she says Queensland and Gansett I'm not getting from. Yeah, because he'll get from Mildura. So it's not the pshat that it has to be, that's only him that's restricted. Even if she restricted herself from getting from Queensland, no matter who brings it, she still can get it from somewhere else. That must be the pshat in the Mishnah. So over Zoya, it's a kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel says that even if she only restricts one particular person from giving her benefit, he can nullify it. And it says the Gemara, very simple. Masnesin Rabbi Yosihi. Well, we know that Rabbi Yosi has a different definition of Inu Nefesh. So the Mishnah which says that he can't nullify it is Rabbi Yosi. The Amar Rav Huna Kula Pirkin Rabbi Yosi. Like we said before, that according to Rav Huna, the whole perek is Rabbi Yosi, yeah, because it said an extra time at the end of the Mishnah, Divra Rabbi Yosi, and then from then on, it's all Divra Rabbi Yosi. Yeah, so that's all. So any stump part of our perek is according to Rabbi Yosi. Yeah, and Rabbi Yosi is the one who says that it's not Inu Nefesh. unless it's called Peris Olam or whatever. Yeah. Umaya Yochala Hafer. And what does it mean? So Rabbi Yosef will say that he cannot nullify Mishum in a Nefesh because it's not an affliction. No, but as a pshat in the Mishnah, we learn that he cannot, that regarding the washing business, what it said in the Mishnah, Ein Yochala Hafer means Nedarim Shemeret Levena. The Ran points out this last bit is not really relevant to what we're talking about, the bananas in Queensland, but it was just the flow of what Rav Huna said, yeah? To show that it's all Rav Yosi. Okay. So the Ran Paskins at the end over here, that the Maskon of this Gemara seems to be that Shmuel is going Dafka Kodz Chachamim, because from our Mishnah, which is Rav Yosi, is a Kash on Shmuel, and Shmuel will say, I hold up the Chachamim. So therefore, the Ran says we paskin like the Rabbanon, even though Kula Pirka Rabbi Yosi means all these Stam Mishnahs everywhere is all Rabbi Yosi. Yeah, so usually you got like a Stam Mishnah. He says it's not considered over here a Stam Mishnah because it's said Divrei Rabbi Yosi at the beginning as the headline. That's right, because the extra Divrei Rabbi Yosi at the end. Yeah, and he says some people say. Yeah, anyway, there's a whole long thing that some people want to end up saying that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yosi also. Okay, that Shmuel was also talking about Ndorm and Shmuel Ben Noah, but Duran says that doesn't really fit in. So I won't go into it. Okay.
It would appear to me, without knowing that Duran would be a more interesting commentary throughout rather than Rashi.
The Ran, yeah, usual Ran. So there's different Runs. There's a Sefer Chidushei HaRan, which is not printed in the Gemara. It's a separate Sefer, and it's a different style. It brings in more. It's more juicy. There's no question about that. Rashi is usually just trying to help you understand the simple meaning. The Ran goes deeper into it. There's no question about that. The Ran on the Riff sometimes is like that. Sometimes it isn't, but. Short answer is, yeah, I agree. There's lots of mefarshim that would make things more sort of more juicy, but it's a bit like Tosfos' style is more to ask questions. The Ran isn't here asking. Sometimes he asks questions, but sometimes he just explains, and he explains it in a sort of a richer way.
One could learn the whole Gemara with Ran not talking at all. Well, there's no,
Rashi, no, but it's not printed on the site, so you'd have to flip the pages. And the Ran, the one that we have printed on our in most Masechtas, the Ran on the Riff, the Riff only
what
brings.
Run on the Riff?
So in the back of the Masechta, you have not this Masechta. So in a standard Gemara. Yeah, in a standard Gemara, this isn't. There's no. You haven't got that on a normal Masechta. These Masechtas are don't behave in a normal fashion. No, okay, we haven't got it. So in a normal Masechta, at the back you have. It looks like Gemara, but it's the Riff, and the Riff just takes the halacha parts out of the Gemara, so he misses out the whole Shakla Vatari, etc. And the Ran on the side of that looks like this. But it refers to only what the Riff says. So the Riff's missing half the Gemara. So if you just did the Ran, you would miss out on a lot of stuff. You'd get the halacha aspect. So this one, like, you know, what Huey Paskin's like and stuff, you'd get those ones, but you'd miss out on some of it. But you could do both. You've got lots of time on your hands.
That's the answer. Do both.
Do both, yeah. Okay, further in the Gemara from the two dots. Amar Yehuda Mashmuel. Nadra Mishtek Koros. What if she makes a neder that she's not going to have any benefit from two loaves of bread? So she walks into Glick's and she says, I'm not having benefit from that white bread and that rye bread. Yeah? Is ba'achas misana or ba'achas ena misana? One of them is suffering because she likes the white bread, and the other one is not suffering because she doesn't even like rye bread anyhow. So the fact that she made a neder on it is not suffering. Yeah? So one bread is Geschmack, and the other one isn't Geschmack anyway. So normally, he's only allowed the husband can only nullify the one that she's suffering from. The one that she doesn't like anyhow, she's not suffering but not having it, so he wouldn't be allowed to. So if she doesn't like rye bread, and she only said rye bread, that he's not having rye bread, then he can't nullify that, because that's not a suffering for her. Yeah. But here, it's 50-50. So what's the deal? Says Shmuel, because the Torah gave him the right to nullify the vow in the case where she's suffering, so he can nullify the white bread part of it, is mefil ashena misana. Because when he nullifies a vow, there's no half measures over here. The vow's either there or not. So if she's made a vow in one shot, no white bread or rye bread for me, because he's able to nullify the white bread part of it, and one neder, he nullifies, he can nullify the whole thing, and then she can have rye bread as well if she changed her mind or whatever.
Is this the same sort of idea as Megagul in Shul? Once you make a guy make a Shul, once you make another thing?
No, this is where, this is a whole question of about if you can be mefer lemechza. Yeah, or if you can have a half a neder, or that's this is more of that sort of topic, yeah? So can he nullify half a neder or not? So it's this mashma over here from Shmuel that he can't nullify half a neder. And therefore, since he's allowed to nullify one half, that means that he's nullifying the whole thing. Yeah, we had Rabbi Akiva way back, well, where neder shahutra mitzasa hutra kula, back in the second parak or somewhere, yeah? So this is all derech that. Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, nothing doing. Rav Asi says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who was often a sparring partner with Shmuel, that mefer lemisana, he nullifies the half that is where she's suffering. So it's a machlokes, because he says no, he can nullify the white bread part of it. So he says that part that she made a vow not to have white bread, he's nullifying. But the rye bread, which she doesn't want anyway, and she's not suffering, he cannot nullify that neder. So that's the argument in Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Before we get on to further discussion, the Gemara says, Ve'ika di Amri, and some say it wasn't as a statement that Rabbi Yochanan said it, but it came out of a discussion. The discussion went like this. Boy mine Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan as a question. Nodra mishte kikro, said that if she made the neder applying to two loaves of bread, v'achas misana v'achasein misana, one of them is suffering because she likes it, the other one is not suffering by missing out because she doesn't like it, mahu, what is the din? And on that, omalei, Rabbi Yochanan answered, meifel misana ve meifel ashein misana. Okay, same deal, but different, just how did it come out? Did Rabbi Yochanan just come out and make a statement, I argue with Shmuel, or did it come out as a ultimate question of Basi?
Now, another thing, what about if he annuls a vow that he's allowed to annul?
Yeah.
And she then, it's annulled, and then she goes without him hearing about it, makes another one. Okay.
He's
renewed the
vow. A new thing. He doesn't know. So he's got the. It's a new netter, and when he hears about the second one, he can nullify the second one. But till then, it's the same as everything else.
That's how she can get over it.
Well, she'll keep trying, and he'll keep nullifying it.
No, she won't tell him about the second one.
Great marriage I've got going there.
No, she won't tell him about
the second one. She won't tell him. So if he doesn't know about it, he can't do anything about it. Yeah, correct. That's true. But hopefully, there's not too many secrets there between the husband and the wife, yeah? Like that fellow that Moshe was talking about. People don't treat their wives, you know. Right? Okay, so Esave, now in this version, Rabbi Yochanan said that he can nullify. Sorry, this question is going to be on. This question is going to be on. On Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, I think. We'll see in a second. Esave, Ha'isha she nodra b'nozir. A woman makes a vow that she's going to be a nozir. And so therefore, this part is pretty obvious, that if she becomes a nozir and she drinks wine and goes and becomes tommy by contact with a dead body, her rezus, if figures as a boy on top of the page, she gets malchus. So that bit, as Aran points out, is only a lead-in. We knew that already. We don't need the Mishnah to tell us. That's pretty obvious. It's the next part that's the exciting bit. Hey, frela baila. What happens if the husband nullified her nazirus? She didn't know. So he heard about it. He's in the other room and he goes, what? He's not going to be a nazir. I cancel that vow. She doesn't know about it. And then she transgressed. Well, she didn't really, but according to what she knows, she did. She drank wine and was tamei meis. Is enes efeges es arboim? She doesn't get the malchus, because even though she thought she was sinning, but she wasn't, because the husband behind the scenes nullified it. And on that, as the pasuk says, "Hashem yislach lo," it says Hashem will forgive her because the husband nullified it. So the question is, if her husband nullified it, what is to forgive? It's nullified. So Rashi Chumash brings that. He's talking about this case. she thought she sinned and she didn't. So Hashem will forgive her for her evil intentions, if you like. Yeah, when she thought she was sinning, even though she wasn't.
So in other words, what's implied is that if you didn't know that the husband was Mevatel, you should have stuck to what you said.
Yeah, she should have stuck to what she said. The fact that she intended to sin, but she didn't sin because the husband nullified it. So Hashem will forgive that. No, you can't get Marcus for that. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. So what is why is this a question on Rabbi Yochanan? Because I amarta meifel misana ven meifel shem misana. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if she makes an all-encompassing vow that includes some things that are affliction and some things that are not, he can only nullify the afflictable part, not the unafflicted part. Yeah. So why do you say over here that she's not a nazir at all? Dilma minyayin dis the tzara heifela. When she makes a vow that she's going to be a nazir, so she's not allowed to have wine. She's not allowed to have the skin of the grape and the pips and the peels and all the other junk that's in there. All of it is all one big neder. Yeah. Why don't we say that what did he nullify? He nullified only the part that's affliction, i.e., drinking wine. If you tell someone they can't drink wine, everybody likes. And therefore, if you can't, she likes it. Most people like it. If she can't drink wine, that is a suffering. So that he can nullify. But if she says, "I'm not going to eat the skin of a grape," who wants to eat the skin of a grape anyhow? And therefore, it's not suffering to refrain from that, and he should not be allowed to nullify that part. So, quote Rabbi Yochanan that he may nullify a half of al. So why don't we say over here that what he nullified was only half. Minyayin de islatzara hefela. Why don't we say that the wine which she is suffering from not having, he has nullified. But min chartzan and min zog. Chartzan and zog is the skin and the pips, the inside there. Yeah, those pieces of grape, which is not suffering not to have it. Loy hefela. That is not included in his nullification. The haloi isla tzara, because it doesn't cause any pain to her not to have it. And therefore, her naziris in general is still going. Yeah, the only thing that's missing is the wine. So therefore, that he nullified is the wine. And therefore, if she had other stuff, if she was tamei meis, and not the drinking of the wine, but tisbuk zerboi means if she had the zog and the chartzon, let's say. It's implying from the Mishnah that she's not a nazir at all when he nullified it. The question is, why do we say she's not a nazir at all? Why don't we just say that those things that are affliction he's nullified, and the rest of it she's got? It's Omer Rabbi Yosef, ein naziris lechatzoin. There's no such thing as halfway being a nazir. Yeah, you can't be a half a nazir, and therefore, if he's nullifying it, it's all or nothing, and therefore he nullifies it. But that's a din in nazirus, not a din in nedarim. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can say that a general neder, he could nullify half of it, and the other half remains. But if it's nazirus is different, because you can't have half a nazirus. So Amalei Abayas says to him, "Ha korban lechatzin nazirusika." From the expression, he's only discussing the expression. He's not arguing with Rabbi Yosef on the idea that you can't have Naziris Lechatzoyin, but he's saying when you say Ein Naziris Lechatzoyin, that implies that you can't be a Nazir with half the restrictions, but you could be a Nazir for half the time. So a Stam Naziris is 30 days. Oh, 1 second, what would that mean? So as Ron explains, what happens if so a normal Naziris is 30 days? Let's say she says, "I'm going to be a Nazir for 30 days, and the husband didn't hear about it. So for 15 days, she's acting like a Nazir. 15 days in, the husband hears about it and he nullifies it. Yeah? And if you go according to that idea that the husband megas gayas, he cuts it off from where it is. That means those first 15 days that she was acting like a nazir, she really was a nazir for those 15 days. Until he stopped it.
What do you mean she was a nazir? I thought it's invalid. If you're not 30 days, you can't.
That's the whole thing. That's what Abai is saying.
By cutting it, he's cutting it forward.
So Abai says, according to your words, Rabbi Yosef, you're implying so Abaya says this, that's exactly what Abaya is saying to Rabbi Yosef. According to your words, you're implying that if the Naziris is supposed to be chal on wine and not on grapes, that doesn't work. But if the Naziris ended up being only 15 days, that would be counted as a Naziris, and she'd have to bring a carbon, like at the end of the Naziris. Ha carbon achat Naziris ika. According to the way you said it, it sounds like if it's only half the time, then she would have to bring a korban, and she would have been counted as a nazir. Elam or Abayas. Abayas says you need to change your expression so that it will it will fit in good. That ein aziris lachatzoyin. Number is two things. Number one, ein aziris lachatzoyin. You cannot be a nazir for half of the rules of a nazir. So you can't say, I'm going to be a nazir, but I'm going to not drink wine, but I'm going to eat grapes. Yeah, you can't do that. It's all or nothing. And ein korban lachatzoyin. Similarly, if she only ended up keeping 15 days and then he nullified it, there was no korbanos involved at the end of those 15 days for the fact that she had 15 days worth when she was still a nazir.
Because if she keeps part of the things, or part of the time, yeah, she's not doing anything. She's just behaving in a certain way. But she's not doing
well, that's what it boils down to. But it sounded like Abaya thought that Rabbi Yosef meant that it would count as 15 days of Naziris. So Abaya says, let's be clear, that 15 days, and then he nullifies it, it's off. There's no Naziris going on over here. Okay, I think we probably, even though it's early, we should probably stop because we'll leave something for tomorrow. I'll just tell you one more thing from the run. The run had a good question, which I would want to find, which I can't now. The run, maybe it's over here. The question was, we learned yesterday, we quoted the Mishnah at the end, that says, if she says, Netula nimina Yehudim, so we said, Yofer Chelka Yom Hashem Sosei. So why don't we prove from that, what does that mean? He can nullify his portion, and she can't have benefit from anybody else. She makes a vow, I'm not going to have benefit from any Jew. Yeah, so she can't say that about the husband, because with the husband, it's he can be mefer. Yeah, so he is mefer. So what did the Mishnah say? He is mefer the thing about him.
That
yeah.
But it means that
what she said about other Yidden, it's the other way around. That she can't. No one else can benefit from her. She says no one can benefit from me, so she can't make such a vow on the husband. So the husband can nullify that vow. Yeah. If you say that you can't do it halfway, yeah. So why not? So how can he be yofer chelkei? How can he nullify his part and the other half remains intact? According to Shmuel, it shouldn't work because.
She can't say that he won't benefit.
Huh?
She can't say that he won't benefit.
No, that's right. She says no one will benefit.
I don't want any Yid to benefit from
me. She says no Jew will benefit from me. So he can nullify the part about him not being able to benefit, but he can't nullify the rest of it. So according to Shmuel, if you nullify part of it, the whole thing's off. You can't do a half nullification. So how does he explain that Mishnah?
She can't even make a vow like that because, for instance, her children, if she's got any, will have to benefit from her. She can't say, my children will not benefit from me. Everybody means everybody.
She can say it. Well, the children, she can make a vow that her children won't benefit from her. There's no chiyuv al pi Torah that her children have to benefit from her. And the Torah didn't give the children the right to nullify such a vow. So it's bad luck.
Children under any age?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing to do.
They want benefit from me.
People say all kinds of weird things, Yehuda. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but she does it. The vow is chal. Yeah, the vow is chal if she says that. So he says, so the Ran said, the Ran asked about that. How could that be? Why don't we say, so the Ran explains the whole reason why he says you can't do a half. Is because the pasuk says Isha Yeferenu, the husband will nullify it. So Yeferenu it is mashma all of it, not half of it. Yeah. So the question is, why don't we say that in the case which it says Netula Nimen Yehudim? Yeah. So he says that one we concluded was a Beno Leveno. So he's mechalik. If it's to do with affliction, then Shmuel says you can't do half. You can't do it halfway. But if it's to do with matters between husband and wife, right? We said that those are the two things that a husband can nullify, even if it's not affliction, but it's some private matter between them. So in that one, Shmuel will say, even Shmuel will agree that you could do half. So we said, since it's Dvarim Ben Shabbano Leveno, therefore he can nullify the bit relates to him, and he doesn't nullify the bit that relates to somebody else. Just like in general, we say that when he nullifies something, Bnei Levenoah is only made for La'atzmai, but not La'acherim, so that if she gets divorced and marries someone else, the neder wakes up again and it applies. So the same thing is in the first place. If the neder is supposed to be on him and other people, he can nullify his bit with other stuff remaining intact. But when it comes to an affliction type of neder, then it's all or nothing. And therefore, if it's one loaf of white bread and one loaf of rye bread, and she nullifies it. The whole thing's nullified. So that's a little piece of the rye. Okay, we'll leave it over here.